Well, glory to God. It is so glad, so good to be here. I just want to share with you the message title. We're going to call it Thoughts of God. Thoughts of God. How many here have ever had a thought? Come on, you know. You've had some ideas, right? Now, let me ask you a question. The idea that you had, before you shared it with somebody else, you thought about that a long time, didn't you? As a matter of fact, you saw that idea when nobody else could see it, didn't you? You visualized it in your mind. And you kept trying to determine, how can I perfect it? Isn't that true? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to go through the holy pages this afternoon and I know you got someplace else to go, but stay a while. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And it simply says, the first part of that verse, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The Lord said that to Jeremiah, but you know it's applicable to every one of us. Before God formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. And sometimes the question becomes, well, where did he know me? Well, where do you know your thoughts? You know them in you. You know them in your mind. Then you've got to come to a realization that you existed in the mind of God before he formed you in your mother's womb. And somebody may say, well, okay, but why are you telling us that? Because I was born in D.C., or I was born in North Carolina, or I was born in wherever. You understand what I'm saying? And I know so-and-so is my mama, and such a person is my daddy. And so that's what I put on all my births, wherever they ask for my birth date and all that. And now you're telling me that I existed in the mind of God before he formed me in my mother's womb? Yes, I am. And the reason I'm telling you that is because for however many years you've been on this planet, you have limited yourself. You have limited yourself if all you knew was mama and daddy and you were born in such and such a place. You've limited yourself because when you come to recognize that you existed in the mind of God before he formed you in your mother's womb. And the reason I tell you that is because we're going to look at it in a few minutes. God had some plans for you. And nobody on the planet is an accident. Did you hear what I said? Even if you never met your earthly father, you are not an accident. Even if your earthly mama didn't want to keep you or couldn't keep you, you're not an accident. You need to know that because the enemy would try to say you're not valuable. They didn't want you. You need to just give it up to whoever you can. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. But you have great value. great value. Let me give you a reason how I know you've got great value. First of all, do you really think if you didn't have any value that the devil would be concerned about you? If you didn't have any value, do you really think the devil would be concerned about you? Not at all. On top of that, if you didn't have any value, do you think God would be concerned about you? You need to recognize that you are a thought of God manifested in the flesh. As a matter of fact, I got 12 pages of notes, all verses of scripture. And I know we can't go through them all in this one moment. So you just flow. Is that okay? We'll flow and go with the Holy Spirit as He leads. Is that all right? I want you to know, you know, sometimes we get caught up, like Christmas time, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, right? And we get out of joint when they put X in front of M-A-S and all of that, right? Turn to 2 Timothy, first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 8 through 10. I know you've read it before. I know you know what's there. But we're going to look at it again. 2 Timothy, first chapter, verses 8 through 10. And this is Paul writing to his son in the faith. And he gets down to a point, and in the New King James, it has a subheading said, not ashamed of the gospel. And beginning at verse 8, it reads, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling in this verse, in this sentence? Who saved us? God did, right? God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You ain't get it. You talk about shouting about the river and jumping in it. You better shout about this. God saved you and called you with a holy call, not according to your works, but according to whose purpose? His own purpose and grace, which he gave you in Christ Jesus before time began. You'll get it in a minute. He gave it to you before time began in Christ Jesus. You were on his mind before time began. Come on, get real. You existed in God. Oh, the angels know it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
The demons know it.
Yes. Glory.
The devil knows it.
Yes.
We the only ones sitting around in the dark. Don't get upset if they don't celebrate December 25th. Because the Jesus we serve existed before time began. Did you hear what I said? And guess what? God knew you before time began. As a matter of fact, he saved you. He called you with a holy calling according to his purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time began. If you can ever get that in your spirit, then you won't give the enemy press. Did you hear what I said? Yes. We know God sent Jesus as Savior of the world, right? When Jesus was before Pilate over in John, the 18th chapter, Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" Turn over there, John the 18th chapter. John the 18th chapter. Wow. John the 18th chapter, beginning at the 33rd verse. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." You better realize that you are not from here. Jesus on so many occasions said, "I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going." You better get a handle. You better find out and recognize where you came from. And you better be assured and persuaded that you know where you're going. Because if you're not, the enemy of your soul will destroy you. You know what? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't know where you came from, he will devour you. Saved, think you sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire baptized, and he will wreak havoc in your life. Did you hear what I said? Let's read on. "But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born.'" You ain't get it. Jesus is telling us something here. "For this cause I was born, And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate's mistake was he didn't stay to hear Jesus' answer to his question. His question was, "What is truth?" And he walked out. Turn over to John 17. Jesus gave us insight as to what truth is. Look down with me, please. Verse 16 of chapter 17. Lord, have mercy. He says to his father, and everybody here knows that this is Jesus talking to the father, giving the disciples an opportunity to hear this conversation. But he says to the father, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Jesus said, "Father, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Wait a minute. You ain't get it. He's talking about these disciples. You know Peter, big mouth. And Jesus said, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." He said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." What is truth? God's word is truth. Come on. Listen carefully. You don't have but two options. Two options. Option A is truth, God's word. Option B is the lie. You ain't got but two options. Did you hear what I said? And somebody tried to tell me, "Well, I got a third one." I said, "What's that?" "Doing it my way." No, no. That's option 2B. Did you hear what I said? Doing it your way is option 2B. Lie personified. Did you hear what I said? And I know you said, "What is a strange kind of anniversary service?" When you realize that you're not from this world, come on. When you realize that God will sanctify you by his word, by his truth. When you realize that you existed in the mind of God before he formed you in your mother's womb. Don't you know Hebrews says that God is the father of spirits? So let me ask you a question. Most of us in here are adults, and if you're not, it's okay, because it's part of the process of procreation. My understanding is that the seed from the man has to make a connection with the egg of the woman. Is that correct? Then let me ask you a question. First of all, let me be clear on one thing. So I'll ask you this. How many here are spirit beings? I think I see everybody's hand. Good. Good you know that. Then tell me, please, which one contains man's spirit, the seed or the egg. Hello? Oh, I don't hear no answers. Hallelujah. We talking about which came first, the chicken or the egg. And we get all upset about that. We write books and manuals and all kinds of stuff about that. If you're a spirit being, and in order for procreation to take place, they tell us that the seed and the egg must come together. Then, hello, guess who else is there? He's the father of spirits. Psalm 139 says, I saw your unformed substance before any of it was. I know the number of your days before any of them began. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Your parents may give you your DNA, but God gives you spirit. That's why you are not of this world. He knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. Oh, God. Why the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Then the psalmist goes on and says, and your thoughts toward me. Come on. If I tried to count them, there'd be too much. Lord have mercy. God told the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher, higher than your thoughts. And my ways higher than your ways. And then he says, forsake your thoughts. Take his. We limit ourselves when we limit our actions based on our thoughts. Because our thoughts are far less than God's thoughts. And God says, take my thoughts. You think you got it. And God says, you don't have it. I've got it, God says. And I want to share it with you. Did you hear what I said? When we recognize, the word of God in John 8th chapter says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed, right? And Jesus came as Savior of the saints, right? To be Savior of the saints, right? No, he didn't. Stop lying. See? He came to be the Savior of what? The world. That's your challenge. Did you hear what I said? Truth, option A. The lie, option B. You can believe the lie so long until you think it's truth. Did you hear what I said? He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, if he died for the sins of the world, guess what? What'd you say? No, you didn't, Doris. What'd you say?
We're free.
Go ahead. Who's free? Who's the we? Who's the we? Who's the we? Stop saying I am. I didn't hear it. The world is free. You ain't get it. You ain't get it. The world is free. But you know what you got to do to receive the freedom? Believe on Jesus, the one whom God sent. That's all. Believe on Jesus. And he gives you the right to become a son of God. John 1:12. He ain't make it complicated. John 1:12. Believe on the one whom he sent, the Lord Jesus. And I give you authority. I give you the right to become a son of God. When Jesus made a statement, he asked the disciples back in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? And you know, they all said, well, Elijah's and so forth and so on. Then Jesus came on home and he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded saying what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' comment was, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, upon this truth that you just uttered, I will build. Come on, come on. I will build my church. My church. My church. My church. My church. Whose church? God's church. Jesus, God's church, right? And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus took the keys of death and hell. The gates aren't locked. Did you just hear what I said? The gates are not locked. So those who are sitting behind the gates, did you hear what I said? We get the impression sometimes that the church is sitting behind the gates. And the moat is out here. And the drawbridge is up. Did you get the picture? Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell is behind the gates. And Jesus took the key. Guess what? You can walk into the gates and tell them you're free. You're free. And they say, what do you mean I'm free? Believe on the one Jesus sent, and he gives you authority to become his child. And then let's walk out the gates. Because you see, the one who got you in the gates is a deceiver. He keeps them closed, but they ain't locked. He keeps them closed, but they ain't locked. Did you hear what I said? Now back up in John, the 8th chapter. Back up from where he said about he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And look at John 8th chapter, verse 31. Lord have mercy. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, my followers, my pupils, my learners indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen to me carefully, please. A lot of us, no, I back up. All of us have been set free by Jesus. But you know what? Some of us are still living like we're behind the gates. Because he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom is in the word. And when you decide, I don't need that Bible, child. You know what I'm talking about. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. I'm on my way to heaven anyhow, and I'm enjoying the trip. Lie. Lie. What you talking about, lie, Pastor Joseph? The Son sets you free, but you living like you still in bondage. Because the word, truth, will make you free. Did you hear what I'm saying? When you walk in the word, isn't it interesting? Solomon made a statement back in the Old Testament. He says, my father David walked in truth. My father David walked in truth. Hezekiah said, I walked in truth. The Apostle John says over in 3 John and in 2 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that your children are walking in truth. The reason many of us are operating in option B, though we are saved, is because we're not walking in option A. You're not walking in truth. Hello? Come on. Somebody says, well, you know I can't be perfect. Lie. Well, I'm still in the flesh. That's your problem. You need to be led by what? The Spirit of God. Jesus says, it's expedient that I go, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to pray the Father to send you another comforter. And we call him the Holy Spirit. But in that passage, Jesus says, the Spirit of what? Truth. The Spirit of truth, who will not only be with you, but shall be in you. And then he went on to say, and that Spirit of truth will lead and guide you, what? Into all truth. But not only that, he also said that when the helper comes, when that Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you all things and bring back to your remembrance what I said. So, what's our problem, Pastor Jeff? Come on.
How many have ever gone to school? You showed up, but you weren't there. Did you hear what I just said? You showed up, the teacher was teaching, and your mind was so far removed from that classroom, you ain't hear nothing the teacher had to say. Did you hear what I said? Because you were doing your own thing in your mind. Teacher was going on about their business. You know what I'm talking about? The teacher is in you. You need to show up to class. And you need to give him your attention. So you'll know what option A is. Because what happens, the teacher is holding class. And you're there. But you ain't there. And so the enemy just feeds you a thought. And you don't want to be disrespectful to the teacher. So you tell the thought, have a seat. And I'll be back with you in a moment. And when you think the teacher has said class is over, then you go back to that thought. And you begin to what? Meditate on it. Instead of bringing the thought into captivity and casting it down to the obedience of Christ, you decided to take the thought that the teacher was giving you and bring it into captivity and cast it down. Well, whatever thought you come on, whatever thought you decide to entertain, and you wonder why your behavior is like it is. Hello? What thought have you entertained? It's very simple. It ain't no big deal. Did you hear what I said? Bring those thoughts into captivity and cast them down to the obedience of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is not going to speak of his own. He's only going to tell you what the Father tells him and Jesus tells him to do. Jesus over and over again says, he that believes on me doesn't believe on me. He believes on the one who sent me. Did you get the picture? And then Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You've got to recognize not only your thought of God, but you are a sent one. You are a sent one. Sent from the Father into this world. And Jesus says, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. Everybody wants to get to the next level. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody. Girl, I'm going to the next level. You know, I'm taking these classes and I'm taking these courses because I'm going to the next level. You know, and I'm getting into this business and I'm getting into that business because I'm going to what? The next level. Let me give you a little piece of advice. You want to get to the next level? Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. When was the last time you said it? You want to get to the next level? Hello? Jesus says, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. When was the last time you said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. You It's an interesting quote Jesus made in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I read it, I think it's in Luke's translation. It said, you know, when he was asking the Father, if there's any way to move this cup, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. And one of them, he says, God, I know that all things are possible with you. I know all things are possible with you. Can you move the cup? Can we do this thing another way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You got to get this. Jesus knew what was coming down the pike. He knew that he came to die for the sins of the world. And yet, when the rubber met the road, he knew God. He knew his Father. And he said, Father, I know that all things are possible with you. Can you move this cup? Can we do this thing another way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How many times have circumstances come into your life and you say to the Father, God, I know all things are possible for you. Can't you take these circumstances away from me? Add to it, nevertheless. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. For I recognize, God, that before time began, you saved me. You called me with a holy calling, not according to my works, but according to your own purpose and grace, which you gave me in Christ Jesus before time began. God, I existed in you before you sent me. Before you formed me in my mother's womb. And God, like Jesus, I've come from the Father and I'm going to the Father. And so, God, if I've got to endure, I know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know that my spirit will exist forever. And they tell me, Father, truth says that a time will come when a trumpet shall sound and those who are asleep in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up to meet you in the air. But then you reminded me that not only that, this corruptible body that I'm living in a moment is going to be changed, and this corruption shall put on immortality. Just like the inside of me, the real me is eternal, God. Right now I'm dealing with a mortal body, but I recognize that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I shall be changed, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall be put on immortality. Come on, y'all. Don't be deceived by this outer man. Your inner man is being renewed day by day. Glory to God. Did you hear what I said? These are just a few thoughts from God. If you are here and you just found out God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb, and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, because Jesus has already did what was necessary to save you. You just have to do your part. And your part is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. God raised him from the dead. And God has given you the right, the authority to become his child. And you can experience the phrase that says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And then you can begin to walk out the truth, God's word, and you will be changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah.